here we go. This is May of 2010. This is Sheila and Dion talking about the labyrinth painting. Here we go.
Could you talk about the painting with the labyrinth in? Oh, we thought you would never ask. Lord, suffering cat. We've done everything except beat it to death. We've made it in the fret work. You see it in crown molding. You see it in the parquet, the parquet floors. You've been all over this of Hadron's Wall and Trafalgar Square and looking at all that stuff, trying to get this put together. Here you go. You paint a gold stone labyrinth and use perspective to make it go on and on and on and on and on and on and on without limit or bound. You take those quadrants and build in different parts of this labyrinth where it's very fast that you're standing at the front of. So if you're standing at it, it's as though you're in it. And make it be a frontal facing wall, like this would be a blocked path. Then you have a way into it. And get very, 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 very intricate. Make it be a wall of eyelashes. Make it big pathways down at the bottom, and then as you go up toward the center, and you can go to one side or the other. We don't really care. Or you can divide it into the double helix if you want to.
Explain that, dividing it into the double helix.
Make there two outcomes within the labyrinth.
Oh, then it's not a labyrinth, is it?
Yes, it is. If both of the places end up at the same place, it is. Yeah, you can't play labby games with us, darling. Then you can have room for other places, other things within the painting, like a billy goat, like a griffin, like a big old naked man, or you can put some of the little pooties, some of the little cherubims in there floating around, that'd be fun, and the little pootie babies.
What are pootie babies?
They're little cherubim babies. All right, now, have a little greenery, but make sure that the wall itself is pretty gold. And there could be, like, some little breaks where somebody got pissed and tried to bust through the wall kind of thing. And from your perspective, from the front especially, make it as though that the wall, the labyrinth, the walls of the labyrinth are pretty thick. But then as you go in with your perspective, this should be a fabulous perspective work. More than anything else.
I'm looking down at, so I'm at a higher vantage point than the ground.
Than the labyrinth. Because you've got to build, because this is vast. And within those different little loop-de-loop-de-loop-de-loops, then you can have little trees and like a little goat. Don't forget the goat and the griffin and little pootie babies. And we don't care, but it most absolutely should be from a perspective of you're looking at it. And it's the beginning or the opening place, or you go left or right when you begin it, and then you can make that either way, make that be the one path, and then about halfway when it starts getting much smaller, then you can open it up into two different paths, both ending at the same place. See, we don't create, but we sure will point which way the bus should go, and make sure you go real heavy in the developed root system. So, you see, the tree is going to look out of place. Because it's going to be pretty big, but in this tiny little labyrinth that got there. That's why that should really come to the center, and you can do two pathways that you can, you know, have a myriad little degree of play. Oh, and are you going to do some of those little cresting things? You know, the Pendragon stuff and some of that stuff?
It's a Pendragon, yeah.
So you can do some of that, too. Should be very regal, and this should be very, 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 very Renaissance.
Cool.
The whole field should be almost black, and you took the black away, and that's what was exposed.
So it's before the printing press.
Absolutely. But she never wanted it after the printing press, did you?
No, but it's actually the world before the printing press.
Well,
the sensibility that people had.
Okay. But you say we need the rich, rich, richness.
So when you say... Yes.
The new medium. You did want a new medium, didn't you?
So when you said, like, the whole thing was black and I took the black away, are you talking about a color system there?
Yes.
So then it'll be very luminous.
Yes!
I've been so drawn to that color glass, like the dome glass and everything that has to do with glass and color. Is that because of the light coming through the color?
It's the color coming through the light. So at the end of the day, it should look very, very medieval-looking painting with the dark edges. Rich, rich, rich oils. Oh, and do put in a key and a keyhole somewhere. Put the key in one place and a keyhole somewhere else and make it a mystery.
What is the overall theme of this painting?
It's eternity. You've seen these landscapes where it's just dab, 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 dab. If you're going to paint sand, you should be able to see every single grain of sand. And not just this dab, 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 dab business. Detail. That's what makes it impressive. And that's where you can use it to bring up those little illuminated things. So you can get lots of different places and see with that size of that thing, it becomes great fun. And you can have some pretty good open areas like sitting areas, and it breaks your new medium. And all your work will then from forever after it be known that way.
So when you say new medium, do you mean a new way of working with the pigments or the colors?
Sure. And some of those colors that have never been before. There's three more you haven't asked about yet, but you will.
More colors?
Mm-hmm. And don't ask us what the colors are, because we can't tell you, because they're in other worlds. You're going to bring them back here, and then those are going to be the world, the colors.
Okay, very good. What is the deal with the medium, the thing about the color and stuff? Do you know what that means now?
I kind of went back and forth with that. What I got from it is, and also the clip I sent you about half an hour ago, when Bob was reading a transcript that Ian talked about just this last May about the shading, and again he talks about the black. He said black, I took the black away and that's what's exposed. So there's something in the shading and the darkness versus the luminosity. I believe that's what feels right, how he's pointing it.
I just got the clip that you sent me. Let's listen to this.
I was thinking of how Ion shifted an image in the Ascension painting. So, here's the transcript. What were Ginny and Sheila saying about anomalies around her new labyrinth painting? Ion says, the shading, comma, the shades are shifting and enveloping them, both Ginny and Sheila. I go, enveloping the canvas or the people around it? And Ion says, no, anyone who sees it. And I say, it vibrates around it? And Ion says, no, it draws you into it, the way the lights and shades are. And then I say, and Sheila can notice that with her eye. I was thinking that you were seeing stuff. Ion says, yes, she does. She does.
So what does that mean, the shadows are shifting in your mind? What does that mean?
Well, I've been fussing around this thing about luminosity, and I also spoke to Ian about, you know, how do you make paint more luminous? Because when you add white, you actually make it less luminous. People think it makes it brighter, but it doesn't. So it's a whole color system thing. And this concept of it being black to begin with, and then the colors come forth. So I think that's what he's talking about with the new medium. I was playing around with using different actual mediums and the pigments and the glazes, and he helped me with that a bit as well. So
he says the light shines through the color, or the color shines through the light?
I was saying that the light shines through the color. He says, no, the color shines through the light. So, again, it's a flip. As in the
right.
Things with Ion, it's the opposite of what you say or what you think.
Because that would be, quote-unquote, enlightenment. If you take away the black, what would remain would be the light.
But that's, again, talking about color, because if you talk about light, white light is every color mixed in and creates white. Where as opposed to paint, you mix every color together and you get black. So I have this ongoing theme that I've had for years of why are there two separate color systems, one's called subtractive, and how and when I paint, can I actually flip the medium? In other words, can I use every color, mix it together, and have it be white in paint? Why is there this duality in the color systems?
So this may be what Ion says in the next clip we're going to listen to about the labyrinth and reflecting it with a mirror. All right, let's listen to that real quick. Now, this is September 9, 2010. Ion's still talking about the labyrinth painting, but at the end they make this little blip. So let's listen to that real quick, and then we'll comment on it. Here we go.
What do you know?
We know that you've got your perspective in order, but it doesn't please you exactly yet.
Yeah, why?
You got your wall too big in the bottom and your wall too little, making your little corridors where you're going to put all this stuff. Your perspective is too big in the bottom.
I need to elevate myself more.
Right, exactly, exactly. That's why we said do it into the nine quadrants. From the nine quadrants, if you do paint nine pictures and put them together, you'll always be on the top of it. And you can connect it up from those venues. You can swage that labyrinth all through it and connect it exactly. It's not independent pictures, but the different perspective would be clear if each one of those blocks could stand on its own. You would be on top of every one of them. And you can connect them exactly. But you said it when you said, what I want to do is raise my perspective
right, where
I am. Well, that's how you accomplish that, because we said this wasn't going to be an easy thing unless you did it in the tic-tac-toe thing, where it could always together hook together. When you raise your elevation, then you'll be able to see over the wall to see the different little objects that you're going to put in the different quadrants. And it's not for lack of space, darling. My stars, you've got enough canvas to paint Jerusalem. But it's the raised perspective, and that's why we knew that if we laid it out in the nine sections, then you couldn't get lost in the big picture. You'd have nine different things that would fit here and fit here and fit here, and then all you got to do is connect the walls. It's beautiful, though. And then you're coming into a higher point in the middle. Then you're like, well, how can I raise my perspective and do that labyrinth and get down in the hole and get higher up? Well, that's why we said divide it. Then what you're going to be looking at is Chichen Itza with that, like, big stack of stone pyramidish looking thing in the center middle coming out. And then you'll be looking down, but you'll be looking to it. So let's do it this way. Remember, mirror, mirror on the wall.
Uh-huh.
What if you painted this painting from a perspective that you were standing on another pyramid that you're painting at the top, looking at the other pyramid? But if you change your looking perspective, you can see over the wall. Paint the picture as though you're standing on a vista as high as the Tree of Life, painting a labyrinth with walls that you're labyrinth winding through, trying to find your way. It's on the labyrinth, on the path, you have these other experiences. And that's what's engaged in the confines of those quadrants of your painting.
Okay.
You're looking down, watching somebody roam through the maze, and they see this little girl. And they see the coats of arms, and they see the maybe some Camelot-looking stuff. And then they're rolling along, and they see a little brook. And then they're walking along, and they see other little things.
Okay.
Within the largeness of the picture gives you perfect perspective. If you're as high as the Tree of Life is when you're looking on the gaze of the painting. So for a fun thing, wherever this painting hangs, you will be amazed what happens when you put a great big mirror bigger than your painting on the opposing wall. We didn't tell you that part yet. And those bold, robust colors will change everything. It will change the way painters look at art. Renaissance. Spent your life chasing those old masters, and you like them, now paint them. This will be girthed.
What is it more about the word girth?
What does girth mean?
Width?
Yes. Dimension.
Okay. Did you hear at the end when Ion said, if you take the painting and you hang it on a wall across from a mirror that's larger than the painting, it will change the way the color's perceived?
You said you would be amazed at what happened. When I first moved to Savannah, I had the canvas. I had it sized, and I had it sketched out. I hadn't started painting it. And the first apartment I moved in had a mirror that was big enough, and that's where I started actually putting the color on. That actually determined that I was going to stay in that apartment. I had that particular session probably about 3 weeks before I saw an apartment that I was going to move into. I was changing cities. And I said, oh, my God, look at the size of that mirror. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm supposed to be there. First time I looked at it while we were talking on the phone was during a rewrite session. That's when we saw that the keyhole went to the other side because everything flipped. And that's how it corresponded with the ninth gate and the lock there. So there was some kind of lock mechanism. So that's when we started looking at it as the angel diagram. See, I had this whole thing drawn out on the canvas or sketched out on paper with the session when I was talking to Ian in September. I had a really large piece of paper all pieced together, and I was trying to sketch it out to size, and it wasn't quite right. So when I finished sketching it, I had it all drawn out on the canvas before I moved to Savannah, which was in October, and this was before I even heard any revelations or even knew an angel diagram existed. So a whole conversation that we've been having with Bob about how it corresponds to the different rings, I mean, there's no way I even knew that this thing existed before. I was putting those elements in there, so I could not have corresponded to anything according to something that I didn't know existed.
So you're saying you drew it all out, but then Ion says use 7 quadrants. Is that what you ended up doing?
9 quadrants. No, I started with the 9 quadrants because it doesn't make sense because quadrants should be 4. So that was all about the perspective, the second session that you heard.
You did the 9, and mm-hmm. Ion says it looks like tic-tac-toe.
That's how he intended it to be, like, to have the 9 quadrants. He likened it to the Hollywood Squares.
He said this is where Soupy Tail sits.
Yeah, this is where Soupy Tail sits. And Lily Tomlin's over here, and I'm like, oh, my God, really, okay.
The thing with the 9, like the tic-tac-toe, I mean, isn't that in the ninth gate where the guy's got the 9 thingies? There are 9 things,
huh.
Right?
In the film, the ninth gate, yeah, there are 9 elements.
They all have that, right?
Yeah, he puts them together, doesn't he?
He always puts everything together. It's so puzzle piecey, and it's multi-layered, the whole ionic communication. So here's this tic-tac-toe that they told you how to lay it out, and they mm-hmm. told you to do that. I mean, that's not your standard approach, right?
No, no.
Your standard approach is to do the 4 quarters, isn't it?
I started with the 4 quadrants. But again, that was Ian who suggested doing that before the labyrinth painting came into existence. He said, why don't you do it in quadrants? And so which quadrants to me means 4 pieces. So a couple paintings before this, or at least one before this, I did that way, and it certainly helped the creating of it. So
then they said, well, make it 9 like tic-tac-toe with Soupy Sales and Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got it into the 9, which is mm-hmm. what it takes to put together. You had to have all the 9 pieces to get through the ninth gate.
Yeah.
You had to have that full collection of 9. So this is kind of laid out like that. And then there's the key in the keyhole, which also was about the ninth gate.
As you're talking about the key in the keyhole, I was just struck again today about how the whole labyrinth is a keyhole.
What was the other clip that you sent me, the 514 payday? What was that about?
Ian talks about how when I paint it, it is. And that's Bob asking the question directly.
Oh, okay. Let's listen to that. So this is from 2013, this year, 514, on a payday show. Here we go.
The few people that are on the drops are changing the whole atmosphere of the earth. They already have. So what is it now? It's Sheila's painting? It's the formula on Sheila's painting? Al2, AlSO4. That long formula? We've arrived at that now?
There is evidence that would say so, yes. But you don't believe things until the one that wrote the reading wrote writes the reading right. The point is, you can't say that it is until it is. Well, she says it has presented that it is, so therefore it must be.
She? Is that Sheila?
Sheila presented it.
Yeah, painted it.
She didn't write it. She painted it. A graven image is much more valued than any Gutenberg cluster function that you could bump up against. No one questions the sincerity of Mona Lisa, Bob.
They do question all the writers.
Yes.
Who initiated this? Is this you coming into your power? Is this Ion choosing you and pulling you out of some kind of vortex to set you up to do all this stuff? I mean, what do you think about that?
I try not to think about it because it's kind of overwhelming if I think about it that way. I mean, occasionally I'll go like, wow, really? Me? I'm doing this? That's cool. I don't know. I don't know which is which. Yeah, yeah, why me?
The thing I thought was interesting in the earlier session when I continues to refer to the Renaissance, which, you know, obviously was a big part of your study because they talk about it twice. And for those who don't know, what school of art did you go to?
Syracuse University.
But, I mean, you've been an artist your whole life.
I have, and I learned a lot of this more, this old-worldly technique, more when I was in Europe than why I learned it in school, in college.
So you went to college for fine art. You've always been doing art. You've always done all kinds of different mediums. I know you've worked as an illustrator. You've had commercial work. You've done, you know, portrait private work, and now you're a commissioned artist. Mm-hmm. And you work with the fine oil paints and stuff like that. When you went to Europe, you exposed yourself to a lot of different art and taught yourself about different techniques there. And was that through study or through application? You did it or...
Your application, and it mostly was in France, really in Paris more than anywhere else when I landed there after Ireland, because I stopped doing commercial work altogether, and there were a lot of artists using, you know, the old techniques and the old mediums and gold leaf. That's where I learned to do gold leafing, and just every square foot I walked, basically, there was something to look at in Paris, and there was art, so it was very exciting.
In terms of your own development as an artist, you had this number one thing that you stated earlier, which I've never heard you say before, which is that you were somewhat obsessed with the idea of merging or solving what in your mind was somewhat of a dilemma of the duality of color, that all color gets white or all color gets dark, depending on the medium. What did you want to solve about that or do about it?
I didn't like that there were two separate ways of doing it. Why can't I just have the one way, which brings the great luminosity to it? Because it's, you look at something through the color system of light, which is all colors added together equals white, and it's just so brilliant. It's like looking at colors on a computer screen or through a prism. And then there's painting, and it's always, why can't I get this brilliant luminosity through paint?
Is this the implication of Wonderworks paints, that they will have this infusion of light luminosity to them?
That's my understanding of it, yeah.
Okay, and for those who are not familiar with Wonderworks paints, Sheila has had many public conversations with Ion that you can hear on Radio Free Ion through the archives at Achieve Radio about discovering a, you know, what to me in my mind, I mean, I almost even see it like a box of oil paints, and they're like, say, Wonderwork paint on the outside or something, and they're like a magical Crayola box or something, and these Wonderwork paints, which Ion told you you will find or will find you, mm-hmm. would mm-hmm. presumably then, from what you're telling me now, have this kind of effect of this light-bearing mm-hmm. thing.
And he also said to me, you know, when you get this paint figured out here is when you're going to find that paint. You know that, don't you? I said, yeah. So it's almost like I'm going through the process over here because I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait around. Or I know there's no time, but still. I guess I'm pretty hard-headed. I like to figure it out. If it's not here now, why can't I have it now? So I'll just make it myself or figure it out myself.
So you feel like in a certain way, you know, part of your ascension and journey in life and external experiences is resolving these things, which kind of what Ion has set up is the Wonderworks paint resolves those two and completes that aspect. Then we've got the labyrinth and the mirror, which somehow has an aspect of this color dynamic in it. Then the thing about the Renaissance, what's so important to you about that?
Just so damn beautiful, especially living in Paris and going to the museums. The Renaissance itself means rebirth, and it was just a whole different way of how human experienced reality, because all of a sudden this perspective came in a way of transferring images onto the canvas that never was before at all. And Bob would say that it, you know, or it has been mentioned that it was at the same time the printing press came in, so it was a major shift of the eye. So it's just a new way of seeing.
Is there any other big thing like the Renaissance that's occurred?
Personally, and I would say no, but I mean, you know, you can go into the Impressionists where then they started breaking the image down so the image was too defined. And then you go into abstraction, which really breaks the image down even more. But none of that excites me, so personally I would say no, there isn't.
Ion started out by saying, paint the walls of the labyrinth like eyelashes. And I know they've teased you before about how detail-oriented and intricate you are in painting eyelashes. So is that, like, what that means, Renaissance, that you have to have a lot of detail in it?
I haven't seen a Renaissance painting that doesn't have a lot of detail in it. It just, everything changed from what you saw in medieval imagery to the Renaissance. It just, everything became clear and in perspective and had dimension and depth and looked
right,
like an actual image.
In your mind, the Renaissance is the it of the it when it comes to art. And so if Ion is basically saying, as an artist, you would be completing the whole phase of art and bringing it into a brand new expression with your Wonderworks paint and your different perspective and the shadows and things changing and enveloping those who have the painting. And this is a very exciting thing for an artist, I would imagine.
Yes, it is pretty exciting.
I thought it was interesting because Ion said, well, you could have a double helix in there, and then you would navigate the labyrinth based on the outcome you wanted to achieve. And I thought, well, yeah, there are two outcomes in double helix because one is the RNA side and the other is the DNA side. It still gets you, you know, quote-unquote, the same place maybe, but it's different experience.